Jason Lacanfora joins us this afternoon. Mr. Lacanfora, how are you?
Can't complain, man. How's everything up there?
Well, it's warming up. I got to be honest with you. It was a really cold week since last
today.
We spoke.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's warming here. It might get above zero. So we have that going for us. Yeah.
Yes. Well, enjoy the heat wave.
We will. Listening to you yesterday when you joined the morning show and you talked about the Thursday nighter and how important it was for Seattle gets the win, but it's seemingly coming at a cost, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Dwayne Brown dinged up, a few other guys dinged up, and Richard Sherman lost for the year. That's significant. You know, they've had a lot of difficulty in recent years keeping that Legion of Boom together. You know, when one guy comes back, another guy gets hurt. I mean, that's sort of been the way it's gone there the last two or three years, with rotating between, you know, Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor suffering significant injuries. And now Richard Sherman, I mean, look, the teams will have more joy throwing the football on them. I don't think there's any two ways about it. They've got some young corners who've come on there a little bit, but they don't have another Richard Sherman, and Earl Thomas is banged up right now too. I mean, I suspect Earl's back the next time they play in 9 days, but, you know, you have to worry about him a little bit as well. Of course, we're looking through this all relative to the rest of the league, which, unfortunately, this is the year of the injury to a star player, so they're hardly alone in that regard, and certainly there's a lot of flawed teams in the NFC, and six of them are going to get in the playoffs, and, you know, four of them will get to will it be in the next round? And in the end, somebody's coming out of that conference, and whoever does, unless it's the Philadelphia Eagles, it's probably a team that will have had its share of bumps in the road, and who knows, maybe Philly has some bumps waiting for them as well. But I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't write the Seahawks off by any stretch of the imagination, but they're all of a sudden getting thin at what used to be one of their real positions of strength.
You talked about some of the injuries. There's a non-injury that seems to have caught some people's attention.
Yeah.
Is the NFL looking at the way Wilson was handled?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just them. It's them and the NFLPA. You know, they set this protocol up a few years back where both sides kind of do their determination. They see if they agree on what happened after they've investigated. And then they come to, you know, some sort of an agreement about what discipline should be handed out, if any. I mean, this is not the normal administration of a concussion test. Now, there could be things that happened that we didn't see in the broadcast, you know, things from different angles or what have you, but sheer amount of time alone would seem to indicate that this, you know, was not as normally prescribed. And you know, he's out of the game for a play, and then he's right back in, and then he's looked at again, and then he's in the tent for a second, and then it's over. You know, that's not how it's supposed to go down. And, you know, we'll see. The league has said, after sort of giving people warnings a few times in the past, you know, they really put this edict out saying, okay, you know, everybody – excuse me. It seems like I always have to sneeze at like 5:10 on Friday. Everybody, you know now, it's been established, if this stuff keeps happening, you're going to get big fines and you're going to lose draft picks. Excuse me. We'll see if that's what this leads to in this case.
Shifting gears and what could really become a weekly segment for your visits here in Calgary is what's up with Zeke? When last you and I spoke, he was cleared to play, and then yesterday the suspension's back on. Where are we at? Is there another piece of this to happen, to fall into place?
No, I mean, I think at this point we're coming down the home stretch. He's going to miss at least the next four games. He has a court hearing December 1st back in New York, where they will hear arguments on his emergency appeal, and you know, we'll have to get a ruling after that, and we'll see what that ruling is. But he's going to miss at least four games. He very well could end up missing all six, because just because they have that hearing on the first doesn't mean that we're going to find a resolution you know, really quickly. This latest hearing this week, obviously we heard from the court very quickly. That three-judge panel ruled really within an hour or so after the hearing being over that, hey, yeah, we're not going to give you that restraining order. You're going to have to serve this suspension until we hear your emergency appeal. So you know, is there some scenario where he would miss the four games, they'd have that hearing, and then they'd rule during that hearing that, hey, you know, you're unsuspended again? It's possible, but the history from that court, both recently and in the past through the Tom Brady case and some others, is that they seem to be of the mind that, you know, this process may not be the best, it may not be the most egalitarian, but it was collectively bargained, and the court is going to defer to that.
I want to ask you a technical question. I mean, I've dealt a lot with the National Hockey League CBA. I'm not so familiar with what happens in the NFL, but in this situation, and it came up on the program yesterday, who's covering the legal costs of Elliott? That's the PA, right? All of these challenges, that they're not coming out of his pocket. This would be the PA acting on his behalf?
Well, he has his own lawyers as well. So he has his individual lawyers. And then there's also lawyers from the NFLPA who are involved. So, you know, but his personal lawyers who you know, have been sort of with him from the onset of these allegations going all the way back to Columbus, he's paying for that.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, a lot of it is being done by the NFLPA on his behalf.
And speaking of lawyers, Jerry Jones this week, not happy again with Roger Goodell. What is going on here, and where is this going to lead us when it comes to a potential lawsuit?
There's not going to be a lawsuit, and if there is, it wouldn't go anywhere, both based on merit and based on some of the league, you know, the bylaws the league has put in the aftermath of Al Davis suing the NFL every 5 years to try to move from Oakland to L.A. or L.A. back to Oakland or where, you know, whatever else he had going on. Jerry Jones doesn't have any recourse here. Back in May, he himself was one of the 32 owners, all of them, who voted unanimously to allow this compensation committee to enter negotiations with Roger Goodell on a multi $200 million contract that would expire in 2024. They gave them full authority to negotiate at the behest of the league. They did not have to report back to that group of 32 once the compensation committee started negotiating, and they have negotiated, and they have agreed to terms months ago. And at some point, Goodell will sign that contract, and it'll be announced, and it'll be, there'll be a press conference or whatever, and then Trump will tweet out what he wants to tweet out, and Jerry Jones can do what he wants to do. But the reality is, Jerry Jones can't stop this train. He doesn't have nearly enough owners in his corner to do so. And the perception among his fellow owners is that this is everything to do with Ezekiel Elliott and not much really to do with Roger Goodell.
Posturing, then. Essentially huffing and puffing. That's all this is.
Well, he's irate. He's irate because he didn't get his way with Ezekiel Elliott. He didn't get put on this compensation committee like he had hoped to. He was an ad hoc member, but he didn't get voted onto it. And despite him running around for months saying, Zeke's fine, nothing to see here, I know what's going on, I got this, he's not going to serve anything. Here we are in the heat of the playoff battle, you know, in November, and he's without arguably his best player for at least four games and probably all six. So, yeah, he's frustrated, and he fancies himself the shadow commissioner, the most powerful guy in the league, and he certainly had a lot of power and influence, but it's waning with these selfish acts.
I've never heard that before. He fancies himself as a shadow commissioner?
Well, he can get what he wants. And if we're not of the same mind, then I'll eventually convince you that my way is right. I mean, it's bearing out in his actions here. I mean, who else under these circumstances would decide that, okay, the way for me to get my sort of just desserts is to try to now derail this thing that the other – that, you know, if not all 32 owners, you know, at least 28 of them are totally fine with moving forward with Roger Goodell. And at a time where, you know, you want to show solidarity and unity because you're going to be engaging in labor negotiations in the next couple of years and negotiations with your broadcast partners again at a time when ratings are down, you know, the last thing the league really needs is this sort of infighting now, publicly. But here we are with Jerry Jones spearheading it.
In conversation, Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider from CBS Sports, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. A couple of weeks ago, you and I talked a little bit about the Minnesota quarterbacking situation. I suppose we have a little more clarity heading into this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Case Keenum is the guy, and he's performed very well. And for $2 million this year, he's been one of the steals in the league. And in a year when there hasn't been many quarterbacks to do anything at all, he's functioned at a high enough level to allow that defense to do its thing. And he's done it without Dalvin Cook, and he's done it with a limited passing game a lot of weeks because, you know, we've seen Stephon Diggs miss some time. So, Bridgewater is back. He's activated. He'll be the backup quarterback. He's one injury or, a series of bad performances ready to go in there. But I don't expect there to be a quick hook for Case Keenum. Teddy Bridgewater hasn't played in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's coming back off incredibly traumatic knee injury and just getting the confidence back in that and everything else. I mean, even though he's fully cleared and he's been practicing for a few weeks, that's still different than playing games, and especially with no preseason or anything like that, boom, jumping right into the heat of an NFL playoff race. So if there's an emergency situation and Bridgewater has to play, he will. And if Case Keenum goes into a prolonged slump, then they'll make that move. But the intention right now is, you know, to continue going with Case Keenum and get Teddy reps in practice and get him continually getting more and more comfortable with the situation. And then, you know, the real interesting thing for them is they're going to have some decisions to make. If it's me, I'm trying to extend Case Keenum right now because Bradford you're not bringing back. He's a free agent and his knees are shot and he's never available to play. He's always hurt. And so I don't think you can bank on that. And then Bridgewater, I don't know how much he'll get to play down the stretch, but even if he plays a little bit, you're still coming off that injury, not going to know exactly what you have. And Keenum's up as well, and he's having a career year. I would not want to go into, you know, February, March, whatever, without a quarterback on my roster or only having, you know, a practice squad kid. So, I know they like Keenum a lot, and I think if they were smart, they might try to secure him for another year or two as some insurance as they figure out Teddy Bridgewater's future.
I want to ask you about Martellus Bennett and his week back, I guess, claimed by New England, but he's hurt or might be hurt. Is there a story here, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll see if he, you know, if they deem him, you know, healthy enough to play and he appears in a game with them, then obviously the Green Bay Packers are going to have they already are probably going to come after some of his signing bonus because they're saying he failed to disclose an injury, and he was talking to them about, you know, possibly undergoing shoulder surgery and rotator cuff and all this. Now, he may be able to say, well, yeah, I was thinking about it, but now that I'm on a team that has a chance to win, I'm willing to risk it because I'm going to retire at the end of the year anyway, and I'm just going to try to play this thing out and try to get another ring. But the Packers certainly have questions about how he left. And, you know, they were under the belief that he failed to disclose an injury to them. And they're going to want some of that signing bonus back. And, you know, we'll see what happens in regards to, you know, his availability to play for the Patriots. But it's certainly an unusual situation. I think for the Packers, I mean, they don't want to say this publicly because they're going to want to get their money back, and they do have some qualms about what may or may not have been going on medically. But this is probably addition by subtraction for them anyway. I mean, he's been talking about retirement the last few weeks. He wasn't productive when he was playing. Then he missed some games because of ostensibly injury. And you got the sense that with all they've had going on there, you know, Mike McCarthy was okay with life without Martellus Bennett. He made no real impact there. But you know what? He was an effective player for the Pats.
Yep.
And the Dwayne Brown signing has not gone well. And they could use, you know, a tight end to actually, you know, block a little bit and help that offensive line in the run game. So, you know, we'll see.
Last one for you, my friend. Just taking a look at the schedule this weekend, a couple of teams that we have talked about in the last couple of weeks meet early on Sunday, and that's Buffalo and New Orleans. Is that maybe one of the better, potentially one of the better matchups this weekend?
Yeah, it could be. I'm intrigued by it. Can New Orleans keep this run going? Six in a row. I don't think anybody saw that coming after their start. Buffalo's a tough place to play. It's going to be very cold up there. New Orleans traditionally struggles outside the dome and in climates like that. And can Buffalo kind of get things righted? They've had a long break after that ugly loss to the Jets. you know, they know what their formula is. They got to protect the football, avoid penalties, make some big plays on defense. They did none of that against the Jets. They're obviously going to have to do that against Drew Brees. But I think the Bills, there's just so few teams in the AFC that I can sit here and vouch for. Even if they lose this game, it would hurt. It'd be, you know, another two straight losses and all that, but it's an NFC game. They've got a chance to get back at some teams in the AFC down the stretch, and I do think most weeks they can run the football and play defense, which is going to keep you in a lot of football games.
Good stuff as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. Look forward to catching up with you again next week. Thanks, Jason.
Sounds good. Look forward to it. Thanks, bud. Have a good weekend.